Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Gray Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Contact Travis on Facebook.com. Also
check out his program, The Sneaker Report, as he covers the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Boston Celtics, as well as other NBA teams. Remembering Roman Rogers, CEO of BASN in New York City, and the family of BASN writers and broadcasters. Cannot forget the 707 and 609 for their support. Be a sponsor. Check in the Cove Caravan email, glcgray@gmail.com. Join the Cove Caravan and the Soul Patrol on Facebook.com. Please visit our website, www.basnnewsroom.com. Call the Gray Leopard Cove at 646-727-3649.
Welcome to the Cove. Welcome to the Cove. Historical day to day. That's why I played Determination. We have the Kentucky Derby review later on. And we have a retirement from Steve Springer. Steve Vivian Springer, the great basketball coach. Overall record 1,050 games. 1972 at Cheney State University. Got them to the championship. 83, Iowa. Got them to the Final Four. 95, Rutgers University at New Jersey got them to the Final Four. 4 NCAA Final Fours. 3 Big East Championships. 6 Big Ten regular seasons. WAIT appearance. C. Vivian Stringer will go out of black and see one of the greatest African-American female coaches of our time. 74 years old. Sorry to see her leave the court. But she also has written that Don Cheney and needed to at the same time at Cheney State, and Bobo won the basketball title there. So we will say a great job done for C. Vivian Stringer, a graduate of Slippery Rock, University of Pennsylvania, a four-letter sports woman, also has a disabled child who she had to raise and coach at the same time. I got to meet her back in 1990s when the Rutgers came to California and played Cal. Great lady. Okay, last night, the Sixers told the media about Joel Embiid and orbital fracture. He will not be playing the Boston series at all, I don't think. He had a concussion in the concussion protocol 4 years ago. A similar issue, he had an operation on the orbital muscle. This time it's no surgery. And ladies and gentlemen, this is why I do not like gentlemen's sleep. Because something like this can happen to your star player one combined, 5 pitch combined, no hitter against the Phillies, 3-0, as a McNeil gets a two run base hit, a no-no, and makes injury. The last one was 10 years ago, 2012, by Johan Santana against the Cardinals. Memphis Grizzlies won last night as they beat up Minnesota, 114-106. All of the visiting teams won Game 5 in the tournament. So now the Golden State Warriors will have to travel cross country to Memphis and play on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. Remember, Memphis, in Memphis, and all that the Warriors have to do now is steal one game. If they take one game in Memphis and split the game in Memphis, come back to San Francisco. I don't think the Grizzlies have enough gas to beat the Warriors. I love Ja Morant, but I don't think so. Boris Becker gets sentenced 2.5 years abroad in Germany. Bank fraud. And he's been living high off the hog for the last 20 years. He's appealed the case, so we'll see what happens. Boris Becker gets 2.5 years in jail. For money laundering is what it is. The Debo issue in San Francisco will not go away. And the Niners, they need to negotiate. It all comes down to cat dollars. It all comes down to a negotiating contract. Debo was a guaranteed contract, and the Niners said, no, we can't do that because we don't guarantee you'll be here. Injury-wise, the New York Jets messed it up by not trading, and so the whole draft was a chaos. And this year, for some reason, I was not interested in the draft. Even though it was in the desert of Las Vegas, in the Death Star, Elijah Stadium, only the Raiders could call it home. The Death Star. I mean, really, come on. Lamar Jackson is not happy with the Baltimore Ravens. They try to trade his best receiver, Brown. Rumblings in Baltimore. It was the lowest TV rating of the draft ever. And what do you expect? What do you expect when you have the NBA basketball game by? You have 3 game-bys of basketball. And you want to go up against the NFL thinks they can do anything. They can go any time of the year. No. This is the first time that the Raiders were down in the NFL draft. And it's different because there are other things to do and the NBA playoff time. College basketball, the linebackers and defense were the first 5 picks pitcher tackled a player, Ed Reed, home run. And both of the players got suspended, but the pitcher got excluded from the team. Removed from the team after the incident. Let's take a listen to what happened here. And
a baseball game got a little more than heated between North Central Texas College and Weatherford. A North Central player apparently hit a go-ahead home run, and as he's rounding third base, he's leveled by the pitcher. The video was captured in a tweet from the account Texas College Baseball. According to North Central's website, he was playing a doubleheader against Weatherford today. No word on what, if any, disciplinary action will be taken against the team or the players involved.
There's no tackling in baseball.
Yeah, that doesn't look right.
So both players got suspended. One player.
A junior college baseball pitcher was suspended for charging at and leveling a hitter after giving up a home run. But it was the teammates of the hitter who was tackled after rounding third who got the worst of the punishment.
Oh, oh my. Oh, no. Oh, no.
This happened yesterday in the sixth inning of a seventh inning game between Weatherford College and North Central Texas College. The conference in charge of both teams announced the punishments today. Owen Woodward, the pitcher for Weatherford College, received a four-game suspension. The home run hitter, base runner, he tackled Josh Phillips, was suspended for two games. Umpires say Phillips shouted an expletive at Woodward as he was rounding second base. Their report says it was the second time in the game he was mouthing off. In addition, the conference gave two-game suspensions to all but two, every player but two for North Central, for rushing the field up the third baseline right in front of the dugout. Four other Weatherford College players also received two-game suspensions for crossing onto the field. Both teams forfeited that game, and North Central was told it will have to forfeit the remaining two games in the series if it can't field enough players. The pitcher, Woodward, is also facing disciplinary action by Weatherford College, and campus police are investigating as well.
No, that should never happen. That should never, ever happen. The coach, both coaches should be suspended for allowing it to happen. I'm just saying, NBA, all of these videos are first round games. And we have first round matchups. Boston will play Milwaukee. I think it's going to be a great series with Tatum and Brown against Giannis. Milwaukee is missing Middleton, and that could be a problem because they need Middleton to ward off the double teaming of Giannis. We'll see. Attention shoppers, blow up the Brooklyn Nets. The Nets thought they were going to walk up and walk in and walk through the title and get the championship. Guess what? They're watching TV like me. Katie and Kyrie, how can you win an NBA championship when you only play half of your games? How can you do that? And Kyrie thought, I can do this. And look, I understand it is right to not take the vaccine, but this is a team sport. You're messing with the team. So I have no sympathy for the Brooklyn Nets. They got what they deserved. Nobody knew what they did. And Katie, how does that move from Golden State to New Jersey look? Or, excuse me, Brooklyn? Not so good, does it? Pool party will continue this week. The pool party at Golden State as the rookies pool Wiggins, the glove junior, are all contributing to the Warriors' big three. 13-14, Julie Knighton. And the Pacers beat the New Orleans Pelicans 115-109 in their fifth game. Now, I don't know about you, but I have seen some stupid coaching in my lifetime. I have never seen this ever, where you have a team have a 20-point lead and lose not once, but twice. How do you do that? How do you lose a 20-point lead twice? And this is the coaching difference between the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Dallas Mavericks, and the Utah Jazz, and the Golden State Warriors. Let me give you a sample of this. Steve Kerr will let the team run for 2 minutes if they can't figure it out. After the 2 minute mark, he said, okay, that's it. We're going to time out. We're going to get this thing straight. What I saw in Minnesota, Memphis, Dallas, and Utah was a complete disaster. When losing leads like that, you might do a regular season, but you do not do that in the playoffs. And you gotta be kidding me. NHL, the playoffs will start this week. We're gonna do an article on that at blackaddy.com. I'm writing an article right now about the playoffs. Marshawn Lynch will join the Dragon as a minority investor. Robert McLemore will also join the group as the first hockey team to have black minority ownership. They're way ahead of Major League Baseball and National Football League so far. As the season comes to a close today, in Seattle, the Dragon will close the season this afternoon with Colorado Avalanche. And in the Western Conference, the Colorado Avalanche number one, Chelsea number two, and it should be right high in the playoffs. And the East is a jumble, but we have Florida and Carolina as the main day in the East. We'll see. We'll take a break, come back with some more news.
And this one takes us back a few years, but it's such a gas, I just know you're going to be glad about it. The Intruders and Cowboys the Girl.
Cowboys the Girl. Thank you.
WPGA last week, the DIO Implant Open, Naza Atoka wins the championship. And on last night, Minji Lee leads the Palos Verdes championship in Southern California. PGA last week, the Missouri Classic in New Orleans, Clayton and Shepard wins in doubles. This week they're in Mexico, but the Mexico Open, WTA, they play all over the world this weekend. The BMW in Germany, Estoril in Portugal, the Madrid Open in Spain, and the BNL in Italy this week at WTA. NASCAR, last week there was the Geico 500 at Talladega with Ross Christian wins, and this week is the Dora Max Dayton 100 in Dover, Delaware. IndyCar next week is the Honda Grand Prix in Alabama. And last week they were off in the Formula One, and the Mercedes-Benz team, they got work to do as they come to Miami next week, the Miami Grand Prix, as Formula One comes to that. And very interesting that the United States now has two Formula One races. And they didn't have any before 2010. Now they have two in 2020. Well, that's a good thing to know. Now I will ask the gold caravan a very serious question. This country, I'm going to get real political here for a minute. This country better get it right. And what I saw last week at the hearings, the court hearings of Marjorie Taylor Greene, we got a problem. And the problem is this. How many times are we going to go through this scenario? When elected officials cannot tell the truth. We had a president that could not tell the truth. Now, this has trickled down into the Congress, which trickled down to the Senate. It trickled down to the House. It trickled down to state governments. It trickled down to local governments. It trickled down to communities across the nation. Now, our forefathers wrote a constitution. Our forefathers also could not tell the truth. We know it, but America can't admit it. When you have a writer saying all men are created equal, and yet turn around and have slaves in his backyard. What are you doing? But America continues to ride on. We criticize Russia for their invasion of Ukraine, but yet, look at our backyard. I'm gonna play you a little bit of Midday Green. I'm not too happy with you. And these are not. These cannot be allowed to run religion. Because in the Constitution it says, if you incite an insurrection, you cannot hold public office. Well, I'm sorry. Mr. Green has advocated insurrection. Mitt Lauren Bobo, same thing. Bobert, whatever her name is, same thing. They cannot run for election. That's in the Constitution. Donald John Trump cannot run ever again. It's in the Constitution. If you think about insurrection, you cannot run for public office. Period. All right, let's get on here.
Oh, man. So a group of voters in Georgia are suing Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, saying that her involvement in the January 6th insurrection, she should get kicked off the ballot as a result. So it took her to court. Well, today she took the stand. And see, when you are a liar, man, it ain't never good to try to lie on the witness stand, especially when they bust your ass with the evidence. So this actually happened today in court.
Ms. Green, you've had your disagreements with Speaker Pelosi. Isn't that right?
I'm not sure what you mean.
You've had political disagreements with her. You don't agree with some of the things she's done in her career, right?
Politically speaking, that would be correct.
Right? You don't agree with a lot of things she's done, right?
Politically speaking, that would be correct.
In fact, you think that Speaker Pelosi is a traitor to the country, right?
I'm not answering that question. Speculation.
You've said that, haven't you, Ms. Green, that she's a traitor to the country?
No, I haven't said that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Can I use Exhibit 5, please?
Oh, no, wait. Hold on now. I believe by not upholding the, securing the border, that violates her oath of office.
Fair enough. I'm not interested in her oath of office. I'm interested in that you said that she's a traitor to our country, right?
I understand, Your Honor.
So then what happened was they actually played the video where it was like, here it is, this is what she said. And then they also asked her about liking
you to answer my
comment on Facebook as related to whether or not Nancy Pelosi should be shot. Well, check this out.
And you're using a CNN article.
I'm asking you to answer my question. Did you like a post that said it's quicker, that a bullet to the head would be a quicker way to remove Nancy Pelosi from the role?
I have had many people manage my social media account over the years. I have no idea who liked that.
Okay. Are you testifying under oath it wasn't you? I just want to be clear on that.
I am testifying. I have no idea who liked that comment.
Fair enough. It could have been you.
And you're using a CNN article.
I'm asking you to answer my question.
Now, what's funny, Michael, all throughout today, it was, I don't remember, I can't recall, all kind of stuff. Here's when the issue of peaceful protest came up. Watch this.
In your tweet, you mentioned earlier that your words join hashtag March for Trump in D.C. on January 6th, Fight for Trump, that you were urging people to come to Washington for a peaceful demonstration, right?
Peaceful demonstration,
right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that word peaceful is nowhere in this tweet, right? Hey, look, that word peaceful is not in this tweet.
I can't read it. There's something happening.
Let's give the representative a paper copy of that. I want to make sure I'm
not seeing it now. It's a scroll up.
And see, this is the problem with it. This is the problem with it. When you have a person that continues to browbeat and instigate and they get caught doing it, they got a problem. Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene has a problem because she went on Instagram, she went on Facebook. Yeah, and people got you, okay? So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Ms. Boebert, and Mr. Trump cannot legally, under the Constitution, cannot be reelected for office. Period. End of discussion. Alright. We got to move on to other things. But I wanted to bring it up to you. I wanted to bring it up because this has been going on for the last 6 months. It's a reality check here. Reality check. Okay? And if you vote for these guys, something wrong with you now. Because you've been told what to do. You've been told by the Constitution what's right, what's wrong. And now, it's right, it's game.
She bartended for a little bit. And then she stressed for a while, and she's got no tits, but it was fun to watch her at her craft. It was fun.
Okay, goodbye. Alright, what you got, 007? What you got, 007?
Okay. I want to talk about something we talked about off the air, and I know you found it controversial, and at one point you cautioned me not to go there, quote-unquote. I want to talk about the Deebo Samuels situation with the San Francisco 49ers.
Hey, bro.
And I think when you told me not to go there, and ultimately we kind of talked our way through it, but you were concerned, I think, that I was taking the position to justify management. And let me, for the listeners, unpack this. Deebo Samuels is in the last year of his rookie contract. He wants a contract extension. He's a very unique player in that he's both a running back and a wide receiver. In both of those positions, he takes a lot of body punishment. And apparently, well, one, we know that he has asked for a trade. He is under contract for the upcoming season. And there appears to be, depending on media accounts, and it's always, you know, who's telling the story, that he doesn't want to be that two-way player. And he wants a guaranteed contract. Media says, well, unless he's that two-way player, then he's not so special because he's not the best wide receiver in the game and he's not the best running back in the game, but he is unique. He's the unicorn in that, you know, two-role position. And the question, and I understand, he, you know, his body is his instrument, and he needs to take care of that, and if he's injured, he doesn't get paid. The question that I pose to you, and this is where you drew the line, and maybe we want to, you know, pursue that, and you lay out your opinion now. The question that I asked is, well, doesn't management have a right to take this guy on? He's under contract, to use him as they want to use him as a two-way player, and not to be saddled with a long-term guaranteed contract in the likelihood of him getting injured.
Okay, number one, management can do whatever the hell they want to do. It's their team, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the question becomes, Gary Gray goes on the field. Gary Gray is a running back. He runs for over 100 yards. All of a sudden, hey, Gary, why don't you go out to wide receiver? Now, Gary Gray being a player, a team player, okay, I'll do it. One of the defensive backs smacked me upside the head. I'm like, wait a minute. What am I doing out here? So Gary Gray goes back to the office and says, hey, guys, look, I'm willing to go out there and do a wide receiver for you, but you have to pay for it. Now management thinking, no, wait a minute, you're not that good as a wide receiver, but you want me out there. You also have a problem. Because you have a rookie coach. I mean, a rookie of a quarterback.
Right.
All right.
Trey Lance by name.
That rookie quarterback loves Debo Samuel. Okay? So, the order for your team to run, you want your quarterback to be happy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, you go to Debo and say, okay, I'll give you a guaranteed contract. Just don't get hurt. Right? That's not a guarantee either, is it?
Well, no, and he's got a history of being injured.
And
I mean, this last season was a glory year for him where he put up big numbers and remained healthy. So management looks at the history and looks at the wear and tear of the position, the inherent wear and tear in the risk of the position. And I think that's why they're...
The sticking point is the guaranteed contract. That's where the sticking point goes in.
Right. And that's what we talked about the other day, and I was just presenting the question. I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm not pro-management.
No,
even
most,
pro player,
I probably sympathize
with the player more.
Most football fans have no clue about the situation. They have no idea, and so they always lean toward the management side. Right? It's always been that way. The media, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the players have a duty to that team. So Debo Samuel is in a bind because he has a duty for the 49ers. His duty to the 49ers. But his personal duty is to himself.
Right.
He takes care of himself. Right?
Right.
The owners of potatoes, the owners are always going to take care of self first. But So Debo has to make a decision here. Am I going to go out there, risk my legs? Another and not get paid for it, not guaranteed paid for it.
Right.
It ain't gonna happen. So Saturday I had to get out there and do the ready.
Yeah.
And pay D what was
that. And the question is, am I gonna go out in this next season and risk my body for this team that's not showing me a whole lot of love?
That's right. And now what you have done is you have created a turmoil within the team. Do you want that too?
Right.
This is why a lot of players walk away from the game. Because they see management not good. Right, you know what?
All right.
See, that's the problem with this.
Yeah. Now, the funny thing is, we talked about this a little bit too off air. The NFL draft, of course, was Thursday night. The Niners didn't have any first-round picks because they had given up, what, 3 picks to get the rookie quarterback now, Trey Lance. And there was some talk the Jets wanted a wide receiver, so there was some talk about a trade of Deebo Samuels to the Jets. Well, the Jets, lo and behold, draft a wide receiver. Basically, you know, unless there's some more, you know, horse trading after the fact, that satisfies their need for a wide receiver. They don't need Deebo Samuels anymore. So the Niners are kind of stuck with him, as they are stuck with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay, I want you to hold that thought because I have a call coming from New Orleans. This is a free plan. I'll get back to you on that comment. We need to go to New Orleans right now, right?
All right.
Okay. We got to get our Kentucky Derby specialist in. How you doing, my sister?
Sweating. It's hot down here.
It is? Okay.
Oh, where are you?
Introduce yourself to the crowd and say what you're going to do today.
Okay, my name is Jenny. I'm way down here in southern Louisiana. We down in the booth.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's been on the warm side lately. Which it's almost summertime. That's a given.
Yeah. All right.
Now,
I we're gonna talk about the Kentucky. I ain't know the Kentucky Derby until last week. The Derby's coming. So
yeah.
What's been going on with the Kentucky Derby stuff?
Yeah, because this messed up on me. I completely forgot about it.
I did too.
Yeah, because, like, down here, I was trying to get a jump on hurricane preparation before the season starts in June, so I was completely distracted. So now I'm having to jump and try to run these bloodlines and see who's who, which I'm already seeing that there, as per usual, I'm seeing some familiar names. Looks like we've got Tis the Bomb, which is, if I'm not mistaken, that's a tappet horse. And looks like a few people are loading up the field. Fletcher's got 3 in. Brad Cox has got a trio. And McPeak has 2.
I have to ask you, why is there 28 horses in this? Are they crazy? There's 28 horses.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Looks like you're going to pull out the auxiliary gate again.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Look like 14 horses so far.
Well, on my script, I have 28.
Holy shit.
I could be wrong, but that's what I got up here.
You're
saying 14.
Holy smokes. Now, you got the top 5, which, I mean, that's a given. And to be fair, most of the top 5 do not make it in the end.
Okay. Who's your favorite?
Well, I just saw a little filly, and I'm trying to double check to see, because I want to make sure that she's actually in it, because I am definitely curious. Because if a filly is running, especially with the way she ran, I am very curious. Is she going to the Derby?
Did they run the Derby last year or not?
Oh snap! She is. Well, there you go.
Well, last year, let me interject here, if I may. The Derby is under a bit of a cloud because last year's winner, this is unbelievable. Last year's winner was disqualified. It was a Steve Baffert horse.
Yep.
So you have the premier really racing event of the world.
Yeah.
And the winner gets DQ'd.
He's out of the picture, and I'm wondering if that's why you got two owners with three apiece. So between these two guys, they've got six horses across the field. Yep. Fletcher is running three. Brad Cox is running three. And Kenny McPeak has two of them in. With Smile Happy.
Yeah, there's a horse called Crown Pride. Crown Pride. What do you know about Crown Pride?
Oh, yeah. They're going to try to get a win in while Baffert's out. Which I don't blame
them.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, anybody's going to want a bigger chance. But, man,
okay.
I wouldn't want to pay the bill, the entry fees on three thoroughbreds.
Right.
That's expensive.
Let me ask a question, if I may. You probably favor the filly for a whole lot of girl power reasons. How is it that a filly can beat the boys?
Because they're lighter. They're lighter. That's why.
The same reason Genuine Risk, if she wouldn't have been hit by Cordero Jr., she had it. If that race was over when he hit her. And that's why he did it. There is something about fillies that make it to the Derby. That's the best of the best. She's going to blow the boys off the track. They got the best, the heart,
is
all in one. And
is a dirt track better?
Well,
is
the
a
way
dirt
she
track
ran,
better than a grass track?
Wait, say that again?
Is a dirt track better than a grass track? Is it better? Which is better?
It really depends on the horse, in all honesty. And some horses love the dirt. Some love the grass. It's all preference. That's all it is. One is not superior to the other, or at least not in my opinion. It just depends on what your horse prefers. Some horses, as we've seen, love running in the mud. The muddier, the better.
Others,
you know, some will do good on grass. They'll come over on dirt and do just as well. Others can't. It just all depends.
How much money is being involved in this year because of the episode last year? Is the money the same as it was this year?
I have no clue. I have no idea how much is being put into it. Now, outside on the betting, it's probably going to be as much as it's ever been.
Okay.
Even with and to me, with Baffert not in it, there might be a little bit more money involved.
Okay.
Because now that opens up a gap where it brings in more unknown. Because usually if Baffert's in there, you can book it. A Baffert is going to end up in the top three. You can book it. But now it's a toss-up.
We got Tony in a minute. You got any questions for the Derby expert?
When is the Derby this year? What date is it?
Next Saturday, right?
Yeah, next Saturday.
Next Saturday.
Yep.
That's funny how their expert here kind of snuck up on her. It's not really on anybody's radar screen yet.
I had told you forgot all about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I got contacted hurricane preparations, you know, getting all my gear and stuff, you know, all together, you know, that way I don't have, that way I can relax for hurricane season. So I'm completely distracted.
Do you think that the Baffert controversy has resulted in there being less attention given to the Derby this year?
It might be. It wouldn't surprise me if that did have something to do with it, you know, especially the people that tend to bet on the Baffert horses. Obviously, they're not going to really want to be there.
Right.
Yeah. Obviously. You know, if their guy's not running, what's the point of being there? You're always going to have those in the –
But with that being said, does that sort of open up the field as well?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Because
why is there so many horses in the Derby?
Because Baffert's there, and he's hard to beat. He's not there anymore. Or at least not for this year. He's not there.
Mm-hmm.
So that will – that hopefully that encourages others, okay, take the chance. Because there is a real chance to win.
Well, why are there so many horses in the Derby compared to the other two Triple Crowns?
Probably because of the prestige involved.
Well, and a lot of it, I mean, look at Pletcher and Cox. They've got three apiece in here. Clearly, they're trying to stack the deck in their favor. You know, if anybody is able to do it, you give that chance to anybody, they're going to do that. Yeah, that's just a given. That's human nature. But so many horses, I think a lot of them are trying to get lucky, you know, catch that flash in the pan, because you know, you put a whole bunch in the beginning at the first race, everything gets whittled down for the next, and then it's whittled even further down for the last leg, because this is a hard series. This is not for the faint of heart, and only top-quality animals can go 3-for-3, whether they win or lose. If they're there for all three races, that's quality, that and it's not easy to do. I mean, especially when you're doing them that close together. You know, second-rate quality animals are not going to make the trip. They just can't. They cannot hold up to it. That's just like Echo Zulu, the little filly. I watched her run that last race. She jumped out there, and this was an easy run for her. She was not trying, not by half. She never lost the lead. And when it came time to open up, not only did she open up, she opened the gap with every stride. There was just something there that I saw that I like the way she looks and the way she runs. Now, if that's going to hold under this large of a field, I don't know. Until it happens, there's no way to know.
What's that horse's name?
So far, I like what I saw.
What is that horse's name?
Echo Zulu.
Echo Zulu, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to have to go make a phone call.
Because everything they're listing in the top five, Corniche, Rattle and Roll, Jack Christopher, Mo Donegal, they all look good. And Echo Zulu rounds out the top five. Out of those five, she's the one that caught my eye. The others, they ran well, did really good, good speed, good, you know, grabbing the next gear when asked, the whole nine yards. There was just something a bit more impressive about her win, even though it was a bit of a smaller field because it was only for fillies. So colts weren't in there. And then, of course, you've got Pioneer of Medina, Charge It, Cyberknife, Tawny Port, Zozos, Uno Ojo, Classic Causeway, and Barber Road. Smile Happy and Tis the Bomb. And Tis the Bomb, if I'm not mistaken, that is a Tappet horse. If I'm not mistaken.
What is a Tappet horse? What does that mean?
Tappet was really good thoroughbred. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Really good animal. Matter of fact, produced quite a few winners. There's a lot of winners on those bloodlines. Because
what about Barbaro, that was a super horse that, of course, had to be euthanized? Is Barbaro's bloodline still in existence?
Oh, yes. Man of War's bloodlines are still in existence. Secretariat's bloodlines, all of that, everything that produced those champions are still at play. Because everybody, the smart breeders are trying to go back to get that flash in the pan. So instead,
are we ever going to see a horse like Secretariat, are we ever going to see it again?
Probably not in our lifetimes. To be fair, there was none like him before, and there's been none like him since. He's probably a one in history.
Was it because of the way he was built?
Yeah, he broke. He was the perfect horse. Genetically, biologically, scientifically, everything that a horse can be ended up in him. And the game with these races is trying to capture that again. So everybody, the smart ones try to use the same bloodlines that produce that in the same combinations, the same sire and dam lines being put in the same places to try to capture that again. And that's how that game is played. And it's not easy because genetics can play a hell of a game on you.
A lot
of times it works, but every once in a while it'll blow up in your face and not in a good way. That's where you'll end up with great horses, but with really sour temperament. It's a gamble.
What are they doing with the Nana and Nina episodes of the horses going down Nana and Nina? What are they doing about that down there?
I really don't know because I'm not seeing anything. That where I, if I had a horse, I don't care if it's a little Shetland pony. You know, seeing all of the injuries and the devastating injuries. And I'm not trying to be a jackass about it.
I
would not, you know, with that amount of injuries, I would not put my horse there. That's me. Obviously, others have faith in it. And that's them. You know, they're welcome to it. I wouldn't try it.
Yeah.
But to me, there's something going on. There's something not quite right with the footing.
Well, we had an issue up here at Golden Gate Fields a year ago, Golden Gate Fields, and they cleaned it up real quick, too, whatever it was.
Yeah. And then
correct me if I'm wrong on this. My understanding, this reading into the continuing tragedies at Santa Anita, that a three-year-old horse, even though that becomes what we perceive as the gold standard of racing, is actually a very, very young horse.
Yes.
And if things were to be more fair, and of course you want to maybe, you know, get these horses out there to test them when they're young, but it's kind of like running a 14-year-old as opposed to a 24-year-old.
Yes.
That a better game would be to, say, run five-year-olds where there's a higher level of maturity. And when you're running three-year-olds, you're putting too much stress on these young bodies.
Oh, yeah, because these are horses that just turned three.
Right.
Just turned. And in some cases, they just turned three because all thoroughbreds come January 1st, gain a year. So if your colt was, say, born in summer, 1 year, it could literally be 6 months old come January 1st.
Right.
It's going to be listed as a yearling. So that puts that horse at a severe disadvantage as opposed to one that's born in January.
Right.
So that's their true age. Because even at 4 years old, most breeds, with the exception of your draft horses and stuff that mature later, most horses, your lightweight horses, thoroughbreds, quarter horses, all of that, third year, beginning of their fourth year. So even waiting one more year as a four-year-old, your results would be better. Your injuries would be less because the bones will have caught up to the muscles.
Right. But, you know, we were just talking about the NFL. And, again, management, ownership, they're going to look at this. They go, you know, why should I feed and care for this animal, this horse, for another year that may not perform for me. Let me see as soon as I can what this animal's worth.
Greedy, my brother.
It comes back to profit.
Right.
Yes, sir.
But it's resulting in the carnage on the racetrack. I mean, the numbers in Santa Rita are just shocking, you know.
Yeah. And you can be an amateur and not know a whole lot about racing to know something is off.
Right.
Something is very wrong because you've got Japan that has track complexes that literally run 24/7 every day. There's always training, racing going on in that complex the entire time. And they are not producing those numbers of injuries, not anywhere near it.
Yeah.
Especially not the fatalities. So there's something going on, and to me, it's something with the footing. There's something that's just not quite right.
Tony, you got any questions, bro?
I'm just a little kid way down here in the booth. I don't know what I'm talking about, though.
I know. I know we still got another week, but what's the weather? What's the weather looking like for next Saturday?
Oh, hold on. Let me pull that up. Even here, the weather has been crazy.
Yeah,
it's been crazy out here too. We had cold
because,
one day. I said, "What are you doing out here?"
Yeah.
Oh yeah. For us, we never get tornadoes. We had severe tornadoes running through every week. It was absolutely crazy. Let's see. Hopefully, it'll be a good day.
Yeah, because if it's
a
muddy track, it changes everything.
A high of 72 and a 24% chance of showers.
Oh, okay.
So that's going to be pretty nice. That's going to be pretty decent weather. Not too hot.
So that's if the weather holds.
So hopefully that will hold.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know much about horse racing, but I know the weather plays a huge factor, especially for this race.
Oh, yeah. Because with this, as long as it doesn't rain the night before, that's going to make for a dry track, which is going to make it fast.
Yep, exactly.
They want a lot of horses like a dry track.
So how many horses roughly are in the field, you know, preliminarily right now?
Okay, from what I see right off the top of my head, I'm looking at 14, but I could very well be wrong because I haven't looked that deeply.
That's kind of low. That's even low for the Derby, isn't it?
Usually for the Derby, it averages about 20.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, and that's going to depend on who scratches, because you know there's going to be some that are going to scratch right before the race.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's always going to be some.
And the draw will come out on Wednesday, right?
I think so. They're saying 20. There's going to be 20 of them.
Oh, okay. So we'll see where we're at on Wednesday.
It looks like that's what they're keeping it at, though.
Oh, really?
That's still way too many horses, though.
Yeah,
oh, exactly.
Because that auxiliary gate is a feast.
Yeah.
How many horses is it per gate? Is it 8, 9?
I want to say there's better than a dozen on one gate.
Anytime you get past like 12 or 13, then it's like a mosh pit.
And I want to say it's closer to 14 that are on the main gate. And the auxiliary brings out, I want to say, at least 4 or 5 more.
But that's all that's ever been used.
But that auxiliary gate, it's a beast. And only one horse has ever won the Derby coming from that auxiliary gate.
I'm not surprised.
It's so far away, right?
Yes. And you're having to burn your horse up fast to be able
to get
to that
back.
to try to be able to be a contender.
Yeah.
So you're burning a hell of a lot of gas right there at the start.
Mm-hmm.
And that, when you need it on that backstretch, is when you need it.
Yeah.
And by that point, they're burnt out. There's nothing left in the tank. No matter how hard you tap the tank, it ain't there because it already got burnt. So, yeah. It's
so, what about my money down on?
Ooh. In all honesty, any of the top five right now.
Okay.
So, that's Cornish, Rattle and Roll, Jack Christopher, Mo Donegal, and Echo Zulu. But I would definitely, as your outsider, I would definitely be watching Tiz the Bomb.
I like her name, Tiz the Bomb. That's a good name.
That particular bloodline tends to produce. And not just produce, but produce consistently. That's like when you start looking at the older bloodlines, you know, Mr. Prospector, Blushing Groom and all of them that helped to produce the Secretariat and the Alley Bars and all of that. Those bloodlines put in that sequence produce your more consistent winners. They may not always win the big money, but they give you the consistent. They're always in the money. It's not always top prize, but they're always in the money. You're always coming home with something. And that's smart money. To put it mildly, that's smart money. I'll take a consistent runner every day of the week over a flash in the pain.
The American Pharoah, in the bloodline, is still strong?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Most definitely. And he is still pretty. Matter of fact, I think his colts are just starting to run.
Okay. All right.
And I haven't seen what they're doing yet. I need to look that up because that's got me nosy. I'm curious how they're doing. And I want to take a look at Justify and see how his offspring are doing.
Yeah.
Because he's off of the same bloodlines that produce Secretariat. So I'm curious to see if he's going to be a colt sire or end up like Secretariat, who was a master broodmare sire. I'm curious to see if that's going to hold true or if it's going to break that and be a colt sire to where his colts are run as opposed to just producing speed on the female side.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I need to write that down.
Because
now I'm curious, and I want to double-check Barbaro's offspring as well. Just out of curiosity.
What they do is they go all the way back to the beginning. A three-year-old today, you would go back to the original.
You would try to get that kind of combination that originally produced those winners. And it's hard. As evidenced by that big, long Super Bowl, that big Triple Crown drought, where nobody won it for how many years? Well, rather, how many decades? That's the whole game. It's trying to reproduce that.
Okay.
And it ain't easy.
Because
even as far as Triple Crown goes, there's more horses that have won the Derby or any of the individual races than have won all three together.
Really?
It ain't easy. That is a hard combination to hit, even knowing what bloodlines put that together, because there's always the unknowns in it. The genetics is fascinating.
Well, when they go from the Kentucky Derby to the Preakness or to the Belmont, do they train the horses different in the Belmont or Preakness, or is it the same routine?
It is a little bit different because the other races are longer. So you're having to train just a little bit differently, but with such a short recovery time in between races,
yes.
You're trying to balance, you know, training with rest, because you don't want to burn them out too much. Otherwise, they're not going to have anything in the tank to waste it.
Yeah, it's no different
than a human runner. You know, you're doing your jogs and you're sprinting everything between races. But coming up too, you have to temper that, because if you train too hard, you don't have It's finding that fine line. And just like with humans in horse racing, it is a crapshoot. It's a guessing game.
Yeah.
And you don't know if you've gone too far until you do it. Or if you didn't do enough, even. You don't know until you get in it.
I'm going to Belmont to get these tires. I get these real tired horses at the end of Belmont. Yeah. Really tired.
Yeah. And Belmont is the longest. It's a mile and a half. It is brutal. It is absolutely brutal. That is definitely a marathon. And that's why so few horses ever make it to that level.
Yeah.
Because it is so grueling, especially on the heels, because you're looking – Kentucky Derby is all about speed and being able to get in the clear. It's a pure speed event.
Yes.
Preakness, that is your middle distance. And then you got the Belmont, which is the marathon. And it's trying to combine it all to have a horse that can do all three.
Do you think they'll ever change the Triple Crown to a different scenario, or a different park? Like, would they come to California, or would they go to Texas, or would they just keep it the way it is?
It would take something drastic to move it from where the races are held. That unless something really drastic happens, it will never change.
Because Belmont is very, very, they need to redo the whole stadium, because the stadium is ready to fall apart, but that's another issue.
Now, will they do it temporarily? If there's enough money that's going to be lost because the place is falling apart, they'll do it. But until that hits, no, they're not going to budge. And the upgrades that the place needs can't be done in one off season. There's just too much that needs to be done. That's something that would probably take a couple years from start to finish to get it all done. And get it done properly, to where it's safe for the horses, safe for the riders, because at the end of the day, safety is key. It has to be. But now, will they feel that pinch anytime soon? That depends on how much the place falls apart.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things. You know, that's punching way above our weight. We have no idea.
Yeah. Any other, Tony?
No, I'm good.
I'm good too. It's a great joy to go on my show.
Appreciate the knowledge.
Anytime, gentlemen. Y'all have a good day, and we fingers crossed that our picks win, whoever y'all choose, and may the odds ever be in your favor, so to speak.
There you go.
Thank you. I hope so.
Take care now.
Thank you.
All right,
y'all
care.
Have a good one. Okay.
All right. You got a derby. You got a derby in there. Yeah, it's good. Okay, we're going to take this quick 30-second break and then come back.
BlackAthlete.com. Looking for the definitive source for information? BlackAthlete.com, that's where it's at. From Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, to Michael Jordan and Shaq, football, basketball, baseball, and everything in between. We focus on all the major players and stories, daily features, video on demand, and Black Athlete newspapers coming to a city near you. Tired of the same old sports programming? Check out BlackAthlete.com. Sports the way you like it.
Okay, we're back. Tony, did you get any of the NBA first round play?
Bits and pieces. I have to admit, I watched a little bit more than I thought I would, but yeah, I watched the majority of it. Yeah.
Okay. My question to you is, what is going on with the coaching? What is happening? I have never seen, I've been watching basketball for 40, 50 years, I have never seen such lack of coaching in my life.
Well, you think guys are overcoaching? Or, like, you think guys are overcoaching during the playoffs? I mean,
Okay, let me give you an example, okay? When you have a 20-point lead, 90% of the time, you win that game. There was a team last week that had a 20-point lead twice and lose the game.
Well, no, I think, you know, the playoffs are a whole different, you know, I always tell folks, you can tell the difference between a postseason game and a regular season game strictly by, you know, what kind of defense is being played, how the shots are being contested, and everything else. With the regular season game, you know, that little uncontested jumper that you got, say, in late December, early January, becomes something where you're going to have to deal with somebody in your face around this top round in April and May, you know, because of the playoffs. I don't know if it's, I mean, maybe in certain instances it's coaching, but a lot of it I think is just, you know, just the nature of whatever. You know, you had a couple of, you know, not so much new teams, but you had some real young teams. I mean, you know, you see the Grizzlies advanced for the first, you know, you saw basically the Grizzlies and the Mavericks advanced for the first time in quite a while. You know, the East, for the most part, held with chalk, although it's going to be, you know, needless to say, it's going to be a rough go for the Sixers now if Embiid's going to be out. Embiid's going to be out. So it might open the door for Boston to make it, because there are, you know, arguably the two hottest teams right now are Boston and I guess you would say the Warriors to a certain extent. Wouldn't be a bad thing. Well, Boston and Golden State, you know, the top defensive team versus the top offensive team. You get your East Coast, West Coast thing going on as well. But it's been decent. You know, it's been a lot more entertaining than I thought it would be.
Let me give you an example of this. If the Warriors have a 10 or 15 point lead, and Steve Kerr will let the players play, if they can't figure out what's going wrong, he will call a timeout. He will call a timeout and bring the ball. Okay, now we gotta fix this. What I saw last week in Minnesota and Memphis and Dallas, those three teams in particular, the coaches did not say, okay, time out, let's get this together. Because I saw at least three or four times where the coach did not call time out.
And I think a lot of that
you can't
and I think a lot of that I think a lot of that just has to do with the fact that, you know, these were neophytes to a certain extent. The teams, not so much the history of the team, but the actual teams. These were, you know, that, you know, especially Memphis. Memphis is young. New Orleans is young as well. You have a lot of young teams out there, especially in the West. The thing is, right now, I really think you could make an argument that right now, even with Embiid's injury, that the power is sort of back in the East again.
I'm not sure of Phoenix because of the Chris Paul episode. I keep saying, here we go again.
Well, it might have been a good thing that New Orleans pushed him a little bit, because now it'll prepare, because see, you know, when you sort of coast in that first round, it can give you sort of a false sense of what have you. Now, even with the Celtics sweep, the game for the most part were relatively close games. Yeah, except for that last game where they just basically said, you know, enough is enough. We're just going to take you out. But
yeah,
you know, the thing is, because, and see, the first round is made for TV, because they drag it out and they drag it out, you know, strictly because of television. Now that we're basically in the second round, it might not be quite as bad. Now, also, you have to factor in the NHL, because there's some places where there's dual, where the arenas are dual occupants. But I think for the most part, other than I guess the Grizzlies pulling off somewhat of an upset, you know, it's basically been to form for the most part.
Truck, what they call it, truck, right?
No,
truck,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. My name is KD. Tony, KD made a big mistake. Hear me out with this. KD was with Golden State Warriors. KD won not one, but two championships with Golden State. KD goes to a unknown quality in Brooklyn. Not only that, he brings in a guy that you can't depend on, Kyrie Irving. So what do you expect was going to happen? See, that's what I guess. I mean, is that you had, it's like the goose and the golden egg. You had the golden egg, and you threw it away.
Well, to be fair, they gave him hell for going to Golden State too.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they
gave him hell for going to Golden State. So, to put it this way, a lot of the stuff that, you know, because they don't have their favorite whipping boy to beat up on during the postseason this year, I think KD has been anointed as the new beat up guy. And look, Kyrie did him no favors during the regular season. Let's put it this way. They were more, you know, the sad thing is this, it was more of, you know, the great housewives of Brooklyn as opposed to the Nets this year, because there was just so much drama. There was so much drama on and off the court for them that, you know, the fact that they actually even made it through all of the BS is kind of, you know, it's somewhat of an accomplishment. I said last year, to me, all the pressure was on Nash because he was a neophyte head coach. But this year, this one's all in the lap of the players, because and more so more so even management, because again, the concept of the big three is not a problem. The big three will be as good or as bad as your supporting cast. And
thank
that
you.
Supporting cast, this supporting cast this year was not
Beautiful.
Good. They really
Beautiful.
Did not add. They actually lost guys. And I think just looking back at the roster, I think they were a stronger team last year, and it showed because they went farther. Now they wound up losing to the eventual champions. Now, could they, you know, I don't know. It's still up in the air as to whether the Celtics, whatever. But see, look at the Celtics. Now, the Celtics, you know, were sort of stumbling all season.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
yeah.
then they finally, you know, then I guess when they, you know, ironically, it was a loss at the Garden to the Knicks that basically turned their season around. Because now, and remember, new head coach, same roster for the most part, but a new head coach, you know, a new whatever, and they
yep.
struggled, but they were able to turn that adversity into that, and arguably they're the hottest team, not so much in the East Coast, in the East, possibly for the entire playoff. You know, however long they go with that, you know, remains to be seen. But a lot of, you know, it's very easy to put this all on Durant. I would put more blame, if you're going to blame somebody, I would put more on Kyrie because the chemistry issues could have been absolved if he had wanted to take the vaccine. And again, that's another 2.5-hour conversation in and of itself.
Yep.
But
yep.
When he put his way, when he sort of drew the line in the sand and sort of waited for other people to make the decision for him, it held that team hostage pretty much all year.
Yes. And also, what I think sealed the deal was when they signed Simmons. I go, oh, that's the
they were prop look. I think in the back of their mind, they thought that Simmons was gonna sort of have a come to Jesus moment, and have you, and unfortunately, you know, for their end, you know, there's something going on with that kid. I hope it's, you know, there's something more to it than just, you know, not
yeah.
wanting to play. Or what have you, because he was in a very, you know, to me, and again, this is just my own opinion, to me, he was put into a very decent situation because, see, here's the thing. If he is still looking to play in this league, he has done nothing to make somebody say, I'm going to take a chance on him. Because the league, we know, look, good, bad, or indifferent, the NBA is unforgiving. And once you get sort of a reputation, good, bad, or indifferent, it sort of stays with you. Ask Zion Williamson.
Yep. I think Zion is in real trouble.
Well, The thing with both of these young men is they, you know, both of them have been anointed in a sense. They were given a lot before
yep.
they even played their first NBA game.
Yep.
Now both of them have some, you know, they have a bit of a resume, but they also have a good resume, and they also have a terrible resume. The whole, you know, again, I don't know what those underlying issues are with Ben Simmons. I think that, to me, there's something else going on there. And
yeah.
I don't think it has anything to do with basketball. And I think that's why he's in the situation where he is. Zion, unfortunately,
I think looking at the past 2 years, I think it's crazy. It's bad. It's bad trading. It's bad, terrible, awful trading.
Well, he, you know, I'll put it this way. For his sake, I hope it's not a situation where he's sort of eating himself out of the league. Because
that's what I'm talking about. The
yeah,
league.
Yeah.
But see,
that's salvageable. But see, again, it comes back on, because see, in both instances, it comes back on the player. Do you want to play or not? And again, with Simmons, it's to me, it's more that there's something else there. There's the unknown factor that's going on there with Simmons. And I like I said, I don't want to harp on it that much as I have, but there's something just, for lack of a better word, there's something rotten in the cotton in regards to Ben Simmons. And I don't know if it's readily fixable. On the surface, Zion's problems, to me, are fixable. But again, the common theme with both of them is, do you want to, are you willing to do what it takes to fix it? Or are you going to, you know, allow your succeed? The worst thing of both things, the worst thing that's happened with both of them right now is they're allowing their enemies to define them. And see, that's the worst thing you could do as an athlete, because folks who don't know what your situation is have already basically written the first and last chapter on your career. And then
the NFL draft is in day number 3. I don't know about you, but I smell a big rat in this thing.
Well, which rat? Because there's a bunch of rats in the NFL. So specify which rat.
Double-crossing, no rat, because here's the reason why I say this. Who is number one quarterback in this year?
It depends on who you talk to.
Well, the guy from Liberty was the number one quarterback, right?
It depends on who you talk to.
Let me go off a little bit here, right? He is an African-American, a dark African-American, too.
Well, I see where you're going here with this, but see, here's the thing. There was no consensus.
My quarterback was bad anyway.
Yeah,
it is bad here anyway.
I'm not discounting what you're saying, but see, the thing is, there was no clear cut. This is the guy this year.
Right.
This was across the board, whether it was quarterbacks, whether it was linemen, whether it was, you know, what happened. This was, for the first time in like almost a quarter of a century, there was no consensus number one overall pick this year.
Yeah.
No one, what made American Idol night in the NFL somewhat intriguing. There was no consensus, for the first few picks or what have you, guys, you know, put it this way. I think for the first time in, like, forever, all the teams had to do some damn work this year.
Yeah.
Because they really had to go with what their needs were. Now, a lot's been made of what the Jets did, and to a certain extent, they were able to recognize. They realized that, you know, they're in year 20 of their 5-year rebuilding plan, and they had basically three first round picks. And again, on the surface, it looks like they hit their need. They got a defensive back, they got a running, they got a wide receiver. It looks like they got some linemen as well yesterday as well. So on the surface, it looks like they fit their needs. And there were some other teams who were able to sort of do that along the way. Now, my only beef for the most part is that the first 2 days, you know, no HBCU players. I think a couple got picked today,
yeah,
but
that,
I have to admit, I really have not been watching the draft religiously this year. I was flipping around, watching playoff and baseball on Thursday night. And again, last night, mainly more so basketball and baseball yesterday. But yeah, the NFL draft, I watched some of the first round of opening night. I have no idea who got drafted today. When I get off the air with you, I'm gonna see if hopefully there are some HBCU players that did get drafted. And I'm gonna try to do a little write up. I believe a couple got picked today. I'm not sure because they started at noon. This was an intriguing draft only because, again, there was no consensus, whatever. Now, like I said, I understand what you're saying about the kid from Liberty, and he did wind up getting picked, thank goodness. And he might be in a situation where he could be playing, if not so this year, by his second year.
What are you hearing about Debo Samuel back east? Because
if you go by the reports, the Niners are saying we don't want to trade him. But it also sounds like they don't want to pay him top dollar either.
Yep.
So
I believe that Debo Samuel needs to stand by his guns, and don't waver on this thing. Because the my thing is this: you had this boy to do something outside of his realm. Why are you the one paying the guy after you tell him to go outside his realm?
Yeah. And the thing to me on the surface, the 49ers to me are shooting themselves in the foot because let's face it, if you are trying to lowball him, you are alienating your best player. And that's going to come back to haunt you, especially when you now both of us for selfish reasons would like to see him stay there so the new kid can get off to a decent start because they're basically handing him the keys to the franchise now, and you would like to see him stay there if nothing else just because he has another a weapon back there. So, but look, if he's not happy, then at the very least you need to. And see, it's always funny to me how teams sort of like to play, beat up a guy in public. But it's like, remember, it comes back on you because when you try to trade him, teams are going to be like, well, you don't want him, so they read the papers too,
He definitely was not happy
as his Twitter thing, but I'm still just trying to figure out what the Ravens are trying to do. Now, the thing with them was, the year started off for them awful when they basically lost all their running backs literally before their first preseason game. And it seemed like they were playing catch up all year long, even when they had a little bit of a role. And then when Jackson went down, they basically were toast. and they, you know, they didn't really, again, on the surface, they made, you know, decent drafts or, you know, decent picks or what have you, but they really didn't, to me, it didn't seem like they really did anything to enhance their biggest need.
No.
On the surface.
Well, we got...
Although I think all the trade Kyler Murray rumors will probably be thrown away now that he's got his, you know, for one man's, you know, one man's whatever is another man's treasure. And now,
yeah.
now Kyler has another weapon out there. So we'll see how that plays out. I never bought into the rumors that, I think this was a franchise that was trying to scapegoat a player because his contract year was coming up, and they figured if they put the pros and 10 out there, because, you know, personally, I think Cliff Kingsbury is the mole on all of this because, he wasn't that, remember, he was not this great college coach, and he hasn't been that much better as a field coach. I think there's manipulation going on his end to say, I think he's basically has gone to management and says either him or me. By putting up the
here,
season
buddy,
on
buddy.
Me.
That leads me to another issue with coaching. When is the management ever going to get good coaching and keep good coaching?
Example,
what team
again?
When are these teams going to get really good coaching and keep them? What I mean is this. Florida, Miami, and a coach. What are you doing?
Again, that was a power struggle with him and the GM, and he had the owner's blessing with this. Now, here's the funny thing. It looks like that the players that they've added or what have you is that they're making a commitment to Tua. But do they have the right coach for Tua to advance? Now, he's an offensive coach.
They have the right coach.
I'm talking for how management looked at it. I agree with you. Brian Flores should still be the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. And, there's a part of me that wants to see Tua do well, but there's also a part of me that would love to see them go 0-17, to be quite honest, after what they did to Flores.
So I'm kind of torn.
Tony,
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to turn in my New York Giants.
Well, this year is basically, it's eerily similar to when George Young took over. It was a mess. It bottomed out. You had the fumble with and everything like that. Now, I'm not saying this new guy is, George Young, because George Young is like a Hall of Fame GM and all the other stuff. But the situation is similar. They're going to probably be worse this year, because this year they're basically going to look and say, okay, we got to see what we have here. We have to see who we build around, who we want to get. And see, there's just as much pressure on the players, because they know that a bunch of these guys, they know that this roster is not going to be the same. Come opening day, it's probably not going to be the same. There's probably going to be some guys that get cut during camp or even before then. And this is a year where they're going to evaluate. The only thing they didn't have going for them is that because that division isn't all that strong, they could, rebuild and do some things. I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs, but they,
I just hope they Saquon Barkley to not get killed.
No. They don't really that they're you know, let's put it this way. I think one of the main reasons why you didn't see them go out and make a whole lot of trades is, you know, I mean, let's be honest, Gary. After Barkley and maybe one guy on defense, they don't have a lot of weapons to be out there trading.
You know what? If I am the Giant GM manager right now, you know what I'd be doing right now? I would put that right there, quarterback.
They've already now you see they already said they're not going to do the fifth year for Jones.
Daniel Jones.
So they're already letting him know.
Yep.
You ain't all that. Gettleman did not, you know. Gettleman left this guy a mess. It's an absolute mess.
He got Mike. What are you doing, Mike? You have five quarterbacks.
Which means you basically don't have a quarterback. You know, not like I said, I still think Tyrod will be your starter before the year is over with. I'm going to give it, you know, maybe like about midseason or what have you. But then, you know, This is going to be a giveaway year because he's got to look and see what he's got. Like, that's why I was comparing the whole Young thing. You got to go back to Young's first year as GM. He basically was like, "We got to see what we got here. Who we going to keep? Who we're going to get rid of? And who we're going to build around?" Because right now they don't have either. I mean, even as good as Barkley is,
David Webb?
I have not.
Okay, because he played out here in Berkeley, California. He's pretty good, but I don't think he's big enough.
Well, when you go to MetLife Stadium this year, probably for both teams. There should be a big-ass sign saying work in progress or men at work because both teams are trying to build. Now, the Jets may be a bit farther along, but again, that's like being the world's tallest midget in Jersey at this point in time right now because they still need some things as well. Rebuilding is never fun, especially in the NFL, because you still got to put out a team. And nine times out of ten, they all got Buford Puster sticks waiting to whoop that ass. So that's why rebuilds are tough. I mean, and it's going to take a little bit, you know, now because the Giants don't really do the free agent thing. So they're going to have to build through the draft and they may dip into it a little bit more, but it's, you know, you're looking at least a couple, two, three years at the soonest. The only thing, what's that?
Would you please go back to the 1960 jersey, please?
I hear what you're saying, but you know they got bigger problems than what jerseys they can wear.
I look at TV. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
But trust Gary, that's low on the list right now. They're just trying to make sure they got a decent team to wear whatever damn jerseys they're gonna play. At this point in time, right now, they gotta earn the right to either wear the old traditionals or these new. And the new ones aren't terrible. It's just that when they went, you know, they brought back the throwbacks, and then they basically went back to the 80s.
Yeah, yeah, they did. They really did.
Yeah.
Where is Baker Mayfield going to land?
At this point in time right now, he may wind up being a secretary for Progressive. There's no market for him. There's no market for him. I mean, he was mediocre when they were good. He's mediocre now. And also, he's coming off an injury. So again, he was the number one overall pick. DSD. Yeah. That just because you were the number one overall pick, that doesn't, what does that mean? Johnny wasn't the first overall pick. Johnny was barely the 20th pick in that draft. But look. He's gonna have to, him and his white entitlement is gonna have to put his way. Grape Kool-Aid goes good with humble pie. So I would tell him to get as much grape Kool-Aid as he can right now. Because this is his reality. What he thinks and what the NFL thinks of him is totally different. It's two totally different things. And he's finding that out now, right now.
Yeah.
Well, because right now,
this show today, what you got? What's your last funny words?
I'm looking for the NHL playoffs are starting on Monday, and I'm looking forward to. I don't really have a team that I'm rooting for. I'm just literally watching. I may have to get another TV because between baseball and the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs, my poor little finger is gonna be. I might have to put my finger on IR by Thursday because it's all set to
start. What I do during tournament time, I always have two TVs. I put my own TV in the front. Always tournament time, so.
I have a feature where you can watch two games at a time. So I'm gonna do unlike what a lot of people do. I'm gonna read the damn manual and see how I can do it. So I can watch at least a couple of games going on at a time. But yeah, this is a fun time because basically all four majors are going on now. You're gonna have the backlash of the draft. For the folks, I've been watching the USFL. I've enjoyed that. Then you got the baseball, of course, and then the hockey and basketball are in playoff mode. So yeah, this is contrary to all the Christmas commercials, this is the most wonderful time of the year if you're a sports fan.
That was nice.
It's funny now. Everybody's trying to say, well, it's not a real no hitter, and all this other stuff. Like, you've got some folks because for whatever reason, you've got some folks saying, is it a legitimate no hitter? If you're leading after nine innings and the other team's got no hits, guess what? It's a no-hitter. Whether you use nine different pitchers, depending on LeBron, not one, not two, not three, not four, but if you use five pitchers and they don't get a hit after nine innings and you got more runs, guess what? It counts.
Yeah, it sure does.
It was very nice. And, it's still very, very, very early to whatever, but, Things are good. Things are good.
I like it because it was a game of Philly.
The Phillies won't get any Christmas cards from me anytime soon. I'll just leave it at that.
I can't stand them.
All right, Gav. Right. I'll talk to you, man.
All right, thank you, bro.
No problem. Take care.
All right. Graham McLean, MRS, BSNNewsroom.com, editor-in-chief, Ember. And we'll get you out of here with this. Have a good week. Enjoy the hockey, enjoy the baseball, enjoy the basketball, enjoy the football. We got four feet.
Someone in the grave somewhere.